I'd encourage you to open your Bibles, if you will, this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll be reading verses 1 through 9 in just a minute. Last week we talked about following God's instructions, and we had two lessons concerning that and about four different points from the Old Testament about various people who failed to follow the instructions of God, and we looked at what happened to them when they failed to obey Him. All of them received swift and just and quick punishment. We understand that in our lifetime, if we fail to follow instructions in many areas of life, it can cause problems. And sometimes by breaking the law of the land, civil laws or otherwise, we bring a recompense of reward on ourselves immediately, and punishment comes after a trial and soon thereafter. But we all understand that as we live on this earth, we're responsible to God. So when life on earth is over and we stand in judgment to God, when Jesus comes for the resurrection, He's going to judge each and every one of us. We'll be up here before Him. And He judges according to the things written in the book, according to the things we have done in our body. And so we're going to be judged. And so a failure to obey God at that point will bring everlasting punishment. And so it's important that I realize in my life that daily I need to get into God's Word and read it and study it and believe it. I need to have prayer toward God and toward His Son and pray to the Father daily for strength and receive encouragement and strength from other faithful Christians that I might be able to follow the instructions of God and do His will. And so these things are important for you also. So this morning we want to continue talking about some things in this study, and then after the class and the worship hour we'll also talk about following instructions and hopefully bring this short series to a close after that. But the song that Barry chose this morning, number 498, it goes right along with our lesson, because about reading where He leads, I'll follow. Understanding that Jesus set the perfect example, that God sent His Son to this earth to live and to die, to shed His blood for us. But in doing that, He also set a perfect example that we should follow in His steps, because we are a sheep going astray. So we need someone to follow. So God gave the commands. His Son left the example. His Son instructed the Holy Spirit, or had the Holy Spirit to come and bring the Word to inspired men from the Father's mind. And so we have all that revealed to us. And so we have the capability to know God's will and His way and His commands. And so if we read and study, we can know what the instructions are that we're to follow in life. Not only what to do to be saved and how to stay faithful to God, but also how to live our life as individuals, as families, as husbands and wives, as neighbors and friends, in business. The Bible covers all that. So we have some good instructions there to follow. So this morning, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and read just a few verses there to see the importance that God placed on following His instructions, of learning His will and His way and studying it and teaching His instructions to those children of Israel and to their children and to their sons and their daughters, the importance of teaching God's instructions to them every day so that they would follow them and that they would not forget that there are instructions this God has given that we must follow. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So we see in these verses the importance that God places on following His instructions. And being here today and knowing we're here to worship God and do His will, we understand the importance of following God's instructions. So let's continue this morning with some other points from the Bible that will illustrate to us that God will not tolerate those who continue to fail to follow His instructions. It may bring circumstances in this life, but if we don't get our life right with God and obey Him, certainly it will bring the condemnation and the reward of eternal punishment at the end of life, at the judgment, because we fail to follow His instructions. And again, we want to reiterate, as all of you are already very well aware, that failing to follow instructions may mean that we fail to do what is given in the instructions, or that we fail in not doing what the instructions say to do. So there's the sin of omission, failing to do what we're commanded, and there's the sin of transgression, going beyond and breaking a law that we've been told to keep. So there's two ways to fail to follow instructions, and so we want to continue to think about that this morning. But if you will, turn to Exodus chapter 25. We're going to look at verses 10 through 15, and there some instructions was given concerning the handling of the Ark of the Covenant. And in those instructions, after we read those, we're going to the book of Numbers and the book of 2 Samuel, and see that a man named Uzzah lost his life while transporting the Ark of the Covenant because he did some things, and those men did some things that God told them not to do, and he was struck dead because he failed to obey, follow the instructions that God gave to him. So we pause just briefly in our thoughts. We adjusted this speaker system this morning, and I noticed it's a little bit loud. It was okay for me, but it was loud. It depends on the tone of the voice. Is it too loud up here in the front? Is it okay? Okay, don't want to hurt anybody's ears. Can you hear okay in the back, Matthew? Okay, we're good then. So we've been trying to adjust this and tweak it, so hopefully we're on a good medium between our bass and our tenor and our altos and our colds and our flu and the way we talk. So here we go. Exodus chapter 25, verses 10 through 15. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it and shall make on it a molding of gold all around. You shall cast your rings of gold for it and put them in 4 corners. Now notice verse 12. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them in 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side and the 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. So that was the design of how to move and transport the Ark of the Covenant. You shall put the poles and the rings on the side of the ark that the ark may be carried by them. These poles shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. Fast forward over to the book of Numbers, and let's look at a few verses there. Numbers chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 30 and 31. Numbers 3, beginning in verse 30. And the leader of the fathers of the house of the family of the Kohathites was Elizaphan, the son of Uzziel. Their duty included the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the utensils of the sanctuary, with which they ministered the screen and all the work relating to them. So they had the instructions at the beginning, and as it was handed down, and these men were doing their duty, they were to do and follow the instructions that we read earlier. Let's go to 2 Samuel now, if you will, and let's take a note at what happened when the commands of God was disobeyed. 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel 30,000. And David arose and went from all the people who were with him from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abimelech, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahoah, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahiah went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir, wood, harps on stringed instruments, on tambourines, sistrums, and on cymbals. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Number one, they shouldn't have put it on a new cart. It should have been on the poles of the shoulders of the Levites, run through those rings, carrying it as God's instructions. Then verse 7, after instructions were disobeyed, he reached up and touched it. The anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. Example after example, in the Old Testament and the New, sets forth not only the premise, but the exact clarification of understanding that when God gives instructions, he requires that they obey. I do not have the right, no one has the right, and no council of men or no religious group or any governments or anyone has the right to alter the law of God and say, well, we'll do it differently. This is a new way. This is a better way. And what does it matter? Well, it matters. We see it cost Uzzah his life. Let's look at another example this morning over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you'll turn back, verses 1 through 9. Again, we've already read these verses at the beginning of the lesson, but we noted the instructions God gave to get into his word, to learn his word, to obey his statutes, to keep his commands, and not only important that they were to do it as the leaders and the overseers and the parents and the fathers, but they were to teach it to their children, not just one time or occasionally, but daily when you walk by the way, when you rise up in the morning, when you walk by the way and you lay down at night, teach my commandments to your children that you may obey me. So God gave them instructions, but failure to follow those instructions caused Israel to fall time and again. They had the instructions, they just veered from them. They had the instructions, they just failed to continue applying them. They had the instructions, and oftentimes they failed to teach them. And so what happened was it caused Israel to lose their knowledge of God. Look, if you will, to Hosea, and let's look there. Over in the book of Hosea, we see that certainly there in these verses, Hosea warned and told that the children of Israel had lost their relationship with God, they lost their knowledge with God because they had failed to follow his instructions. Hosea chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. With the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Notice now, God gave them instructions. They had the instructions. They failed to follow his instructions, to study and know his word and pass it on and then to obey it. So it caused them to lose their knowledge of God. Verse 4, now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you stumble in the day, the prophet shall stumble with you in the night. and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed, verse 6, for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your Lord, of your God. I also will forget your children. And so we look at verses 7 through 10 now. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. What happens when any person, any group of people, any family, any area in life, when people fail to get in God's Word and retain His knowledge, what happens? It caused Israel to fail in their knowledge and their obedience, and it will cause us to fail in our knowledge of God and our obedience to God. When you look around and you see things that are being taught today in society and being pushed by the agenda of people who are being led by their own desires, their own lust, their own whims, their own ways that they want to follow instead of God, these agendas are being pushed. And the reason is that many times they do that because they have turned their back on God's Word. They've refused to listen to what God says. Therefore, there's a failure to follow instruction. So you have diseases. You have society that is disruptive. You have people that are murdering, stealing, and lying, and cheating. You have people living in situations that God does not condone, has never condoned, and will never condone. Adulterous marriages, homosexual ties, all kind of effeminate ways, all kind of hatred for their fellow man. And so those things happen down through history. They've happened in recent years, and they're happening today. And so we don't have to be a prophet to know that. We can just go to God's Word and read it and see the results of what happens when God's instructions are not followed. It takes people into depravity. It ruins their minds and their hearts, leads them astray. And as we talked about last Sunday morning, when one goes astray, it will cause someone else to go astray oftentimes. And sometimes when two people go astray in their sin, not only does their sin affect themselves, it affects their family. It affects their church family. It affects their co-workers. It affects others. Sin has a flowing effect like water. When it's engaged in, it goes and it causes problems. The waves get bigger. So if the husband sins, it causes the wife problem. If the children sin, it causes the parents' problem. If one in the church sins, it can cause the church problems. If it's not repented of, turned from, and gone out of, and taken out of, and moving forward doing the will of God, we need to get away from sin. God says, repent and turn from. That means get out of it. That means that if I'm involved in this, then I just need to step out of it, Charles, if you're going to repent. Or else you will not have true repentance in your life. If a man is married and he's living with another woman, and he comes back to his wife and he asks for forgiveness, and he asks God to forgive him, and he prays and he's forgiven of his sins, but he goes right back and involves himself in that same situation, what has he done? He's committing adultery again. He's putting himself in a position that he ought not to be in. And so we see the need to follow instructions, because it can cause people to lose their knowledge and lose their will and their way to live righteously. And God, not only sometimes in our own life we bring punishment on us here because of our sins, but in the day of judgment it will bring punishment on those who will not follow instructions. Let's move forward to one more point this morning. It's about all the time we'll have, I guess. And Let me make sure I didn't miss a point here. So, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings, and let's look at the example of Naaman. This is probably one of the most familiar passages to Christians, as we studied over the years about the importance of following God's instructions. We often use it in the term when we're talking about baptism, the importance of doing baptism the way God instructs for it to do, that there's no shortcuts, that it needs to be done His way. But let's notice now, we've been talking about the result of failing to follow the instructions of God and what happened to people who did and what's going to happen to people who continue to do it until the day of judgment. Let's notice now that failure to follow instructions can be corrected. We can do an about face in our life if we believe God, if we trust in His Word, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, if we have the faith that God says we ought to have, we can make that change in our life by going back to His Word, believing it and obeying it. We can correct the areas wherein we've been wrong by going back and what? Following the instructions. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. And we've got about 8 or 9 minutes. I believe we have time to read most of this, but at least let's look at this lesson. Naaman was a man that was stricken with leprosy. He was commander of the army of the king of Syria. He was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. Now we see that they'd gone out and all these things had happened, and this young lady waited on Naaman's wife. In verse 3, then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria," that's the prophet of God, "for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." Now notice, the king of Israel knew he couldn't heal him. He didn't have that power. But look, and it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was, when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." You know, God worked through the prophets in that day and time, remember? So in verse 9, Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. Naaman was a leper. He was told and found out where to go. So he went. He came here, and he came to this house. And so, verse 9, he stood before the door of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Now, let's look at that verse just a minute. Look at that instruction that he was given. Verse 10. Here's a man that has leprosy, and he's heard that there's someone that can heal him. So he goes there, and notice, Elisha sent a messenger saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. You'll be restored. Your flesh will be clean. James, wouldn't you say that's fairly simple instructions to follow? Well, here's what happened. And you know what happened, but think about it now. What happened to Naaman happens to people today. You bring the Word of God and you read the Bible to them, and many people become furious. "That's not what my parents believed. That's not what I believe. That's not what my friends believe. Oh, I'm not going to do that. That makes me mad." And they get mad at you because you're the messenger. And then next thing you know, they're mad at God because God says to it. Naaman's furious. Let's look at this. Verse 11, but Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself. Notice now that selfishness now again, right? What I think I'll do is what I'm going to do. Is that not what I do sometimes? Have you ever done that? What I think I'm going to do, I'm going to do regardless of what somebody else tell me. Regardless of what mom and daddy says or God says, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, it don't work that way, friends. If it does, it gets us in trouble. Naaman was angry and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. And he said, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? He was told to go wash in Jordan, right? Well, why not use these? Are they not better? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Is that not like us as human beings today? If we don't want to hear something, we're going to turn away and we're going to close our ears and say, I know better than that. I've got a better choice. Or the majority is doing it this way. Well, here's Naaman. Finally, verse 13, his serpents came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down. Now listen, he's finally following the instructions. He threw a fit. He got mad. What about this choice? Are they not better than where you told me to go? Why can't we do it my way? But when he finally noticed, it got in his mind. It got in his heart. Today, we need to let the Word of God get in our mind and our heart and finally realize that this is a thus saith the Lord. And if I want a prophet in my life to have forgiveness of sins and do what's right and get to heaven, I just need to submit to what it says and fall in line and do it by faith, and it'll work. Look at Naaman. So he went down, verse 10, and dipped 7 times in the Jordan. According, listen now, to the instructions, to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Result, verse 15, he was cleaned of his leprosy. His life was intact. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his age, and came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. When we study the Bible and we understand that it's the Word of God and that God's our creator and we are the created and that we're the creatures that are responsible to our creator and that it's in Him that we live and move and have our very being, we will have a fervent desire and we will have a faith that believes to the point that we will get in His book and we'll search the Scriptures daily to see whether those things are so and find and to know that they are so in the Word of God. We will apply them to our life, and by following the instructions, we'll receive a blessing in this life because we're doing what He says, and a blessing in the life to come. One of the problems that may have caused the church a lot of misery over the years and a lot of people misery in their life is just a simple fact that we fail to follow the instructions that God gives. He has the answers. He has the means by which we can heal ourselves and make ourselves right. So this morning, are you right with God? Have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? Have you made that desire to study the Word of God and apply it? If not, why not start today by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, confessing that, repenting of your sins, and being baptized, being washed clean, and then going forward, heeding the instructions of God, desiring the sincere miracle of the Word, and walk thereby, and we can serve God faithfully. Maybe you're here this morning and you sinned in your life and you know about it, and you go to God in prayer if you're a Christian. Go to God in prayer and ask Him and He'll forgive you. Repent of your sins and turn from it and walk in them no more and follow His instructions going forward. If you're here this morning and you have something in your life you need to correct in a public way, and we can help you in that regard, follow God's instructions and confess your fault, as we're taught to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that we may be healed. So if you're here this morning, Barry's going to lead us in the invitation. Please come while we stand and while we sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him?